Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
But it's a thing.
That's a big number, though. 80% feeling burned out? Or can you make the argument that we all feel like we're burned
Everybody's out? Burned out yeah. everywhere. Sign up for that club. It is at every desk in America right now, right?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
7:13, Wisconsin making national news. CNN, New York Times, among the outlets reported on Mayor Dropbox in Wausau after an election integrity issue that drew protests and at least one call for a potential criminal investigation.
It's not within his purview or his in his job description to be that involved with the voting.
It's a Wausau woman speaking with WAOW-TV Channel 9 News in Wausau among a small group of protesters outside City Hall this week. One of them is carrying a sign that read, "Dude, where's our ballot box?" What had happened was City Clerk's office in Wausau placed an absentee ballot box outside City Hall, which, according to a recent state Supreme Court ruling and guidance from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, is now allowed. The mayor is Doug Dinney. He said he was working at City Hall on a Sunday and noticed that the box was not bolted to the ground, so not secured, in his opinion. Which I think, whether you're for drop boxes or against drop boxes in principle, and we don't need to relitigate that. Everybody has their thoughts on that. I think everybody agrees they ought to be secure, right, and not easily removed or tampered with. So the mayor says he was concerned about this. So here's what he did about it. Went and got himself a hand truck or like a dolly, right, something you'd move a refrigerator on or something,
yep,
right?
Yep.
He loaded the box onto it and moved the box into his office in City Hall, where apparently it remains. We know he did this, Eric, because he proudly took pictures yes. of himself in the act, yep. complete with wearing gloves and a hard hat.
There you go. Hard hat.
Did he think it was going to fall on his head? Like, that'd be some tough moving. He said he did it because the box was not secure, and as a city employee, he took the necessary action to prevent tampering. Protesters and others in the community are accusing him of being the one doing the tampering. New York Times, among those reporting the city clerk, has reported this removal of the box to the Marathon County District Attorney's Office and the Wisconsin Elections Commission, so there could be a further investigation of this act. Could be another case of an individual arguably right on principle but wrong on action. Right? Entirely appropriate, perhaps, of the mayor who would notice this to ring up the clerk on that Sunday and say, "Hey, what are we doing here with this box? It's not bolted. It could be moved, whatever," and try to resolve it that way.
Or if you want to make it a photo op, do a news conference right next to it and be like, "Hey, here's what we're trying to do. We need to make sure this
yes.
is secure. This one's not. Look what I can do with it." And make it a point that way if you want to shine light on it. But to take it away,
instead of actually doing it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the argument yeah. against the mayor. The mayor is not hiding from this. He is entirely happy to explain his actions and talk about this, and we will hear from him on this here program later this morning. That'll be coming up just after 8 o'clock. 7:15, sports up next.
The Brewers Hunt for Brew October on WTMJ is sponsored by Delta Dental. Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Let's talk Brewers for a second. Well, ace Freddy Peralta did achieve a major career milestone during the game.
Back-to-back seasons with 200 strikeouts for Freddy Peralta. Big smile for him as Pat Murphy making his way out of the dugout to come take the ball from Freddy Peralta.
So why would you take the ball from the pitcher after he just struck out his 200th batter of the season for the second year in a row?
Because he was struggling.
Yes. He took the ball because Freddie struggled with his command going for that 200. A lot of pitches were thrown, and it cost him, says the manager.
Thought he let the inning before get away from him, focusing maybe too much on a result, not enough on the process of just getting him out. I think that led to the two runs, to be quite honest with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, sounds like Peralta got that in his head, trying to get that strikeout. Ended up walking a few guys, gave up a two-run double after walking a couple of guys, and that would be the difference. The Brewers fall 2-1.
Can't really put all the blame on him, though. Jake Bowers had a solo shot. Other than that, the offense didn't show up. Same teams this morning, 11:35 first pitch. Our coverage starts at 11-ish right here on WTMJ. Now, both the Phillies and the Dodgers won, so say goodbye to any chance.
It's pretty much that.
Yeah, at the two seed. That's pretty much that. But this is going to be chaos the next few days. You have the Mets playing the Brewers this weekend at AmFam. But you have the Mets, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Braves all trying to get three spots. So four teams and just three wild card spots. The Mets and Braves haven't been able to play because of weather. They couldn't play Wednesday. They're not playing today. They already postponed the game because of Helene. So they're going to play a doubleheader on Monday. So it's possible the Brewers may not know who they're actually going to face until Monday night. The Brewers, by the way, start their series on Tuesday,
which would mean it could theoretically be the Mets here on Sunday afternoon, flying back to Atlanta to play two against the Braves on Monday, and then possibly flying back to Milwaukee then to play the Brewers on Tuesday.
Now, I did see a report that indicated the commissioner, if it was just on seeding, the commissioner may overrule and say you're not playing Monday, and they would have some other way to figure out the seeding.
But I don't like that. Make them play.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Make them play.
Imagine that. Imagine the Mets playing three here, then flying to Atlanta for a doubleheader, then flying back to play the Brewers.
I like that plan. Let's do that. All signs at 1265 Lombardi Avenue seem to suggest Packers quarterback Jordan Love will be Sunday's starter against the undefeated Minnesota Vikings. Love revealing about as much as you would expect about how he's progressing through his injury.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting better every day. And, moving around, getting out there and practicing, things like that, is feeling better.
You're going to want to make sure he's 100%, though, or at least close to it. Matt LaFleur has always said, I'm not going to throw him out there if he can't protect himself, if he can't move around. And the Vikings' defensive front is super good.
Yeah.
So they're going to push some guys around. Listen to how Matt LaFleur describes that.
It causes a lot of carnage on the offensive line at times.
And if there's carnage on the O-line, could be carnage for your guy back there.
It's not an adjective you want to hear.
Right? So really important that Love will be able to do everything that he needs to not only protect his injury, but also be effective as the quarterback. Love did say he was close to giving it a go last week. So everything pointing to him being the starter on Sunday.
Big Milwaukee Bucks news today. Ownership news. The team going to announce a new owner investing in the franchise. Who will it be?
Junior Bridgman. Because we knew that for a week.
You heard it here first. No, you didn't, but that's what it'll be later today, Junior. Okay.
Has to be. I mean, I guess you still have to have the news conference when everything is signed, all the T's crossed and I's dotted, but that news has been out for like a week, so it'll be somewhat anticlimactic. But good to see him again, and good to see that guy being a part of the Bucks.
10 a.m. news conference.
7:21, Wisconsin's morning news. . 7:24 on Wisconsin's morning news. The meeting is off. We have been reporting this week that while in the U.S. for the United Nations General Assembly, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was set to meet on the side separately, each with President Biden, Vice President Harris, and former President Donald Trump. The Trump meeting is off. Might have a little something to do with this.
I think Zelensky's the greatest salesman in history. Every time he comes into the country, he walks away with $60 billion. Billion!
And former President Donald Trump on the campaign trail this week. He's not only been critical of the idea of continuing to supply Ukraine with funding and arms to continue the 2.5 years-long war now, which has been his position all along. Okay, but now he's sort of ramping it up, going after Zelensky personally as the leader of that nation, even beginning to suggest that President Zelensky might be engaged in election interference.
He wants them to win this election so badly, but I would do differently. I will work out peace as president-elect. If I win this election, the first thing I'm going to do is call up Zelensky and call up President Putin, and I'm going to say, you got to make a deal. This is crazy.
Zelensky, for his part, is not interested in hearing any of that. He continues to lobby at the UN this week for continued support for his efforts to push Russia back, suggesting even in the presence of the Russian Federation, who's there hearing all this, whether at the Security Council or whether at the General Assembly, the larger meeting, that there is no deal to be had.
Putin has broken so many international norms and rules that he won't stop on his own. Russia can only be forced into peace. And that is exactly what's needed, forcing Russia into peace as the sole aggressor in this war.
Zelensky is supposed to meet today, again, separate meetings with both President Biden and Vice President Harris. That will be in Washington. In terms of actual election interference, you know, you don't want outside influences, foreign influences involved in your election. However, does not the president of a nation have a right to say, like, this is the path that we're on, right? And this is the side that supports, obviously, me and our interests and where I think our country needs to go.
All right. Well, you know, put yourself in Zelensky's shoes. Of course, he's going to try to find ways to be able to gain more support, whether that's through money or other, you know, military ammo, whatever it happened to be. He's going to look for assistance if he's dealing with a country inside his
right.
own.
All well and good, but then former President Trump could be the next president
right,
of the
right.
United States, and you may have to deal with him.
So who put it, who did you say canceled the meeting? Because the reports had always been the two were
going to meet. They were going to meet. I don't have information on who just said we're not doing it. Maybe that information is out there, but I've not seen. I just know that it's being reported this week now that that meeting is not happening.
What's your plan?
What's your plan?
Yeah, but honestly, right. like what's it can't just be a phone call and say, hey, guys, get this done. That's not a plan. So what's the plan? And I would ask the same as VP Harris. What's the plan? What's it going to be moving forward?
Right. Just continue funding forever? You know, because what does winning look like for Ukraine? You need a definition of what Zelensky thinks winning this war looks like, or else it's just status quo for how many more years? Brewers General Manager Matt Arnold, our guest on Brewers 360, that's at 7:45.
New survey finds many high school students in the country and abroad having second thoughts now about going to college. Yolanda Coleman is with the education company EAB on the survey.
Over 60% of counselors surveyed said that fewer of their students view a college degree as necessary.
So fewer think it's necessary. Why else would they not attend?
Over half of public school counselors reported that an inability to afford college is the primary reason why their students are choosing not to attend.
So too expensive. Even the housing sometimes can be ridiculously expensive.
There was a report on housing. I don't know if it was schools out west. Like, they were doing a comparison. Like, some of the student dorms were $20,000
a year. I think it was ASU, Arizona right? State
yeah.
University. Had some crazy, crazy amounts
like
of
imagine
money.
If you put that into a mortgage, right?
So I thought this was interesting. This EAB also did a survey and found that nearly 80% of U.S. counselors themselves feel burned out.
High school counselors are stretched thin. Those working at public schools report spending 75% of their time on non-college admissions duties.
I have to admit, when I grew up, I always thought counselors were supposed to do more than just college duties stuff.
Sure, but if you're spending 75%
yeah,
of your time with,
like,
you know, students coming in with, you know, mental health issues.
Right, right.
And schools are more often getting help, so that's not always necessarily your traditional counselor,
yeah, nor should
right,
be
yeah.
put on all of them, right?
But it's a thing.
That's a big number, though. 80% feeling burned out? Or can you make the argument that we all feel like we're burned
Everybody's
out?
Burned out yeah. everywhere. Sign up for that club. It is at every desk in America right now, right? 7:38, this report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. Coming up on 7:42... The mayor of the largest city of the United States of America is under indictment this morning. And what exactly that means, still coming into focus.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams indicted on at least one federal criminal charge. Multiple sources are reporting today. New York Times first reported. They say that he is likely being charged.
Where do you find this?
Yeah, it's going to get bad. The music, too.
too late.
It's connected to allegations of the Turkish government illegally funneling money into his mayoral campaign in exchange for approval for a Turkish consulate in Manhattan. That's at least what the New York Times is reporting. Now, we're getting conflicting reports as to what's going to happen next, when the charges are going to come down, and when he's going to be in court.
Sources tell CBS News Adams may appear in court this morning to face the charges expected to be unsealed. Just 2 days ago, Adams told CBS News he's still expected to be mayor a year from now, but that could now be in jeopardy.
So that's CBS's Nikki Batiste. She's outside the U.S. District Court in Lower Manhattan right now. Now, CNN and others reporting that he's not going to surrender himself until next week. Because they've given him days to surrender himself.
And even at that, that's just a processing thing, right?
Yes.
He doesn't stay locked up. He comes out.
If I were him, I would surrender tomorrow when Helene is making landfall and hide it
Everyone
in the news
forgets.
A little bit, right? He says he will not resign. He's vowing to stay in. He says he is innocent. Now, the governor could remove him from office, but I think it's a little early in the situation yet before that will come to head.
Brewers 360 is coming up next. We've got General Manager Matt Arnold joining us. Really want to ask him about the situation that could affect the Brewers' playoff run here. Which team we'll face might not know till Monday night. That's next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers fall to the Pirates 2-1. The Dodgers and the Phillies both win on Wednesday night. Same teams this morning right here on WTMJ. Our coverage starts just after 11 o'clock. Brewers and Pirates first pitch around 11:35.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive.
I'm not Matt.
What up, Matt?
Hi, I'm Matt.
Brewers Senior Vice President, General Manager Matt Arnold on the line with us this morning. Morning, Matt.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Really anxious to talk to you about the playoff scenario for our Milwaukee Brewers. So looking more and more likely, barring the unforeseen, that we end up in that wild card round, which means we host a game on Tuesday. We don't know what time. We don't know what opponent. And now apparently we might not find that out until Monday night.
Yeah, has the league said anything to you guys about the Mets and the Braves playing a doubleheader on Monday because they can't play today?
I have heard that's a possibility, yeah. I mean, we walk through all kinds of different scenarios. I've heard some doomsday scenarios for those guys where they'd have to come play us and then maybe a doubleheader there and then, you know, potentially even hop out to San Diego, at which point that would be, I think it was something like three different time zones in 54 hours. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy scenarios right now. So we're going to be prepared for our opponent, whoever it is. But right now, I mean, mainly we're just focusing on ourselves and just making sure we're in a good spot. We're healthy. We're prepared. Murph has the guys incredibly ready to go the rest of the way. So, I think we're in a really good spot at this point.
Murph told us a couple of days ago, Matt, that obviously familiarity helps the offense, meaning that, like, obviously they would try to, or you guys would try to hide some pitchers or wouldn't show certain things this weekend to the Mets if you were going to play them again on Tuesday. Without really knowing what's going to happen, does that throw all that, a wrench in the cog?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think we'll probably stick with that to some degree, at least, because, like you said, there is a chance we still could play them. But we want to have guys ready to go, and so we're going to try to line up our pitching to the extent that we can and obviously stick with our game plan of trying to win today, just like we do every day. But, I think we'll still probably stick with the same plan that Murph explained as well.
Matt, I think we've forgotten as fans where our expectations were at the front end of this season because the team has been so successful and now we're like all in and we want to make a deep run, and I'm not suggesting that we don't want to, but Eric and I were talking with Robin Yount the other day when he was out at the prep rally, and he was saying, like, no matter what happens, it's so good to have these young guys like a Jackson Churio, like a Tobias Myers. These guys get a taste of postseason when they're so young as we look at long-term success for this team.
Yeah, I completely agree with Robin there, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's a Robin Yount Jackson Churio engagement that's coming out in the not too distant future. I mean, it's really going to be awesome if you haven't checked it out. But
I believe I asked for that. Didn't I call for that early on in our conversations?
We were able to pull that together. Nice work, pal.
You're welcome.
No, I mean it's really really neat, and just watching Jackson and, his reaction to watching the 1982 team. I mean, he gets emotional about it. I mean, it really is a cool thing to watch Jackson and Robin, bounce back and forth and talk about their experiences. And in a lot of ways, I'm not trying to put too much pressure on Jackson there, but, he's got that kind of pedigree, and just the similar vibes around those teams. But, we've come a long way, whatever happens here, I mean, we really do. We're excited about the future here.
Hey, Matt, I know we've asked you in the past about the Oakland A's situation, given that you're a big fan way back in the day and your emotional connection to that team. Are you watching today? Last game ever, at least assumed to be last game ever in the Coliseum. Mid-afternoon A's and Rangers. Do you pop that game on just for old time's sake, or do you turn your back and just don't want to have that emotional nostalgia?
No, I mean, I probably won't be able to today. I do have some friends that are going to go to that game, and I hope they don't take any seats.
I was going to say, were they the guys flying the seats out yesterday?
A few people, they're it sounds like my old friends are expecting some mayhem out there today, but no, it'll be a cool experience for those people. And, I did have, some games on last night and saw Ricky Henderson on the broadcast, for them, you know, after our game was over. And, you know, there's so much cool history with that franchise. And, we're just trying to do the same thing here. They have a long history of winning, and we're just trying to establish the same thing here with Milwaukee. And, excited to be a part of this thing. Honestly, we have a great situation here. I'm really proud to be a part of it.
Brewers Senior Vice President and General Manager Matt Arnold on the line with us this morning. Thanks, Matt, and good luck here in the week ahead.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to seeing you this week.
See you, Matt.
I haven't had a muffin yet, Matt.
Brewers and Pirates, 11:35 first pitch this afternoon, or this morning, if you will.
Idea Man.
Eric, 10 picks is a ton of picks, but how am I going to argue with Matt?
Innovator.
Xavier McKinney has proven... You know, he's showcased himself in a big way.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
And now he's on track to blow through years. Is that going to be accurate then if it's at 16? Is your 10 really that bold?
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Morning, Tausch.
Good morning. I'm still... amazed listening to that clip and the fact that Bilstead is on track to be underbolded on the boldathon is just fascinating.
Is there any precedent for that?
No, that's the beauty of it. Most of these boldathon picks, and we've done it, I think this was our third year, they're ridiculous. Like, oh, they're going to go 17-0 or that, but, and now I'm looking at it and the way Xavier McKinney is tracking, Bilstead underestimated his own boldness, which when I first heard it, I was thinking he's crazy, and now it's, I hope he keeps it up and he's showing that he could. And, you know, Wilde's comparison to him, to Charles Woodson, it's all making way too much sense, which is awesome as a Packers fan. But 2 months ago, I thought that's crazy. And here we go.
I'm waiting for him to have a two-pick game.
Then we'll start believing.
Eric will be unbearable if he has a two-pick game. I'm taking that week off if that's what happens.
Hey, I want to ask you about Aaron Jones. He comes to town having just recently written, an open letter to fans, glowing about his time in Green Bay. Much appreciated as a fan.
Super
to me.
Nice. Yeah.
I think it's... You know, I fortunately was, you know, only played my time in Green Bay, and I think there's this, let's be macho and let's do all this stuff. When you can, you know, we all know that Aaron Jones is a great Packer player and a great dude, all the stuff that he did. And then, you know, I remember the story about how, you know, obviously his dad unfortunately passed away and he had his ashes in a necklace. And then he was out looking around on the field after the game because he lost him, and Brian Angle, who is the trainer, went out there with him, and he is a great dude. So I love the fact that he's been able to kind of illustrate that, let people know. And I think for the most part, it's always hard when Packer players go up to Minnesota. Usually it means they're on the backside of their career, and none of us like Vikings, right? That's just part of the DNA of being a Packer. But I do think we all love Aaron Jones. That doesn't mean we want him to have a great game, but I like the fact that he was able to kind of put that down, let people know, so he can kind of make sure fans understand that. And when he comes in and he, on his end, scores a couple touchdowns, I think he still wants our fan base to know that he appreciates it. It's a business. And when you can put that out there and do that, I think that it's just unique. I have not seen anyone else do that ever.
It's not harder, though. Like, once the whistle blows, right, to go up against a guy who used to be your teammate. I mean, geez, you had to play against Brett Favre. I mean, granted, offense to offense, but still, like, it's not any harder for these guys once the whistle blows, right?
No, actually, I think you're even more focused. And it's like if you're playing your brother, in something, you're going to love him regardless, but there's nobody you want to beat more. And I think in this case, there's, you know, with Aaron Jones, I'm sure his competitive juices, even though he's saying all those things, you know, he's a little bit hurt by how everything ended in Green Bay. So you don't think he'd love to throw up a couple tutters and do that little wave deal that he did against the Dallas Cowboys. If he could do that to finish off a game, you don't think that he would thoroughly enjoy that. And on the flip side, you don't think Kenny Clark or any of the other guys that have been around him wouldn't love to make a couple of big plays in the backfield and have a little fun with it. So I think that's the beauty of competition and the beauty of professional sports. And it just adds another layer to, you know, a really, I think, an interesting story.
Okay, so what happens then? I don't think there's going to be any, like, loud booing like there was for Favre. Not even close to, like, when Favre
went to. Totally different day.
But say he scores a tutty and pulls the old Lambo leap. What if he jumps into the
Lambo
crowd?
Leap prohibited. No.
What happens then? How do you respond?
No.
Even if he scores a touchdown and waves, how does the fan respond?
No, you boo.
Yeah.
Like
you
a fun boo?
Yeah, it's a fun boo. I think it's not the vitriolic, like, you know, big time. But if it's at the end of a game and Minnesota somehow beats us, no. That's once you give your accolades, you want to do a Jumbotron video, great. But once that game starts, man, hey, you're not with us. You're not with us right now. And that's the team is always going to come first when it comes to this. And so I would think you want to make sure it's as rough of an environment as you can possibly make it, because you don't want Aaron Jones to have a big game on Sunday. You want the Green Bay Packers to.
Lambo leap off limited to me.
Yes.
Like, that would change things for me.
But nobody, he's going to have to look for purple to go Lambo leap. Those days are over for Aaron Jones.
Not interested in that purple either. 7:58. Thanks, Tausch.
Yeah.
On Wisconsin's Morning News.